Welcome to this latest edition of the Real Deal Podcast on this 1st of August, 2018. I'm your host, Surreal Gerald Quinn, taking you for the next however long I feel like discussing the world of sports and pop culture. As always, we are live here on my YouTube channel. You can always, of course, go to Real Deal Podcast. Go to Real Deal Podcast. This broadcast will be sent out to Blog Talk Radio by sometimes early tomorrow morning. So you can be looking out for that over Blog Talk Radio. And we'll be on Facebook, Instagram, and other platforms as far as where you can find this edition of the podcast. Been away for a couple of days. Certainly back. Happy to be back here, and certainly couldn't have chosen a better day to come back, as a lot was going on in the world of sports. And we're going to begin in Ohio State, where Urban Meyer and the Ohio State Buckeye Nation has found out the hard way that in 2018, no one, and I mean no one, is above assault, physical, mental, sexual of women in 2018. Urban Meyer, right now as we speak, not too long ago, earlier over the course of the day, was placed on administrative leave. That is, as anybody who has worked for any type of corporation in sports business knows, that a paid administrative leave, especially in the sports world, is basically one step away from being fired. I do not expect Urban Meyer will coach Ohio State football this season. I think his career at Ohio State is over. And this is all because of, this misguided loyalty to a guy in Zach Smith, who clearly has, has issues with assaulting women, and in particular his wife, which this, apparently had been going on since 2009. They divorced. Zach Smith and Courtney Smith divorced in 2015. And Courtney Smith basically exposed everything with the text messages to Urban, not only Shelly Meyer, or the wife of Urban Meyer, but other wives around the program of Ohio State. And, you look it up, you look at what transpired, and this goes on around colleges across the country, especially, we saw it at Penn State with Paterno and Sandusky. We saw this to a lesser extent at Florida State with what transpired with James Winston. These towns where these schools are the end-all, be-all in terms of the state, and there's nothing in Ohio, even the Cleveland Cavaliers with LeBron James when he was there, were bigger than Ohio State football. You win at Ohio State football, and Urban Meyer has, consistently, routinely had that team winning 10 to 12 games a year, won a championship back in 2014, 73-8 over the course of since he started coaching there back in 2012. You win there, you basically can do whatever you want. And Urban Meyer, had, in essence, the keys to the kingdom, and, took full advantage of that. When he really didn't have to, and really, what Urban Meyer, and as innovative of a coach as he is, as great of coach, and certainly one of the all-time greats, he fell behind in what the times are right now, and what the current climate of our country is right now when it comes to treatment of women. Again, 3 years ago, had this occurred, Urban Meyer, we would be talking about this, but there would be no administrative leave, And Urban Meyer would be, you know, still would be still coaching 3 years ago, three years ago, 4 years ago, 5 years ago. In 2018, no one is above this in any corporation, in any walk of life, in the entertainment world, in the sporting world. Nobody in no organization wants any part of somebody who is alleged to or has any part of enabling a guy who physically assaulted his wife, whether it's sexual assault, rape, domestic violence. No corporation, no one wants any part of that. We've seen the likes of Bill O'Reilly, Charlie Rose, Tavis Smiley, Kevin Spacey. I can go on and on. Guys who have been basically just cast out of their respective fields behind this. And Urban Meyer, again, for all Urban Meyer has done during his 10 year, during his years in college football, the undefeated seasons, the three national championships. It doesn't matter at this point, from that standpoint. Ohio State, again, I expect that Ohio State will get rid of Urban Meyer. Right now, they're in the process of probably, more than likely, negotiating a settlement buyout. I'm sure that, that Urban Meyer is going to try, is probably going to save face and resign, rather than outright just get fired. Outright get fired. They'll probably have one of those, two parties have mutually decided to go their separate ways, and they'll paint this picture that he wasn't fired, even though we know it's going to be a firing, and probably, they want to totally just dismiss themselves and separate themselves of Urban Meyer. They probably would do that. They, probably could end up proving that they could be he could be fired with cause. Now, because it is in his contract as an employee of the University of Ohio State, if it's proven that he knew that of Zach Smith's domestic violence or abuse against his then wife, that he automatically, similar to, in the educational field, they call it mandate reporters. But so if similar to that, if you are employed at Ohio State by at any university under, under a man, you have to report, and you have to report sexual assault, physical assault against against a woman. If you know it, you have to report it. So, not only Urban Meyer is caught up in this. Now, you have his wife who is also employed by Ohio State, who is caught up in this, and that's where Urban Meyer doesn't have a leg to stand on, because the wife received also received the text messages from the victim. And listen, anybody with any with a third of a brain knows that if his wife was told about that, was told and was texted by Courtney Smith, that there's no way that Urban Meyer didn't know about this through his wife. Even if his wife never comes out and says that she told Urban Meyer back in 2015 or 2016, no one in their right mind would believe that. And that's why I think that, once these text messages came out, great job by Brett McMurphy, formerly of ESPN, in terms of the reporting of this, the text messages. He has pictures of Courtney Smith, who was assaulted by Zach Smith, who just seems, by all reports, seems to just be just outright just a whack job. How this guy kept a job in college football over the course of the last, 7 to 8 years since 2009 is, it just goes to show you where, of winning and how powerful winning is in the culture of college football. That it doesn't matter what you do, basically. I mean, guys can do everything outside committing a murder, and keep their jobs in terms of college football as long as you're winning. Again, we saw that in the case. We saw that with Florida State. Florida State and how they treated the Jameis Winston situation all the years with the paternal Sandusky situation. And now we're seeing it now at Ohio State with Urban Meyer, who I think will soon to be ex-former head coach of Ohio State football, Urban Meyer. Again, he's been placed on administrative leave. It seems like, again, the university is connecting the dots with this investigation. It will be a matter of time before they move in another direction. Again, you cannot in 2018 have any part of assault, physical, mental, sexual against a woman. It's just not. It is something that you're just not going to connect. That you're not going to connect your. That you can, you know, connect your organization with. Your organization can have no part of that. And again, Urban Meyer is going to lose his job. I'd be shocked if he did not lose his job. And you know, the whole idea of deny. That, you know, when your wife, see, this is similar to what transpired in Philadelphia with Colangelo. Once it came out that his wife, you know, that his wife was connected, there was no separation. You know, you can't say my wife knows, but I didn't know that. Like, once your wife, once it's been made aware that your wife was texted or had any knowledge of it, and again, we saw with Brian Colangelo in Philly, you know, that's all she wrote at that point. And it'll be the same thing with this situation with Urban Meyer. So again, Urban Meyer, Ohio State has placed Urban Meyer on administrative leave. And again, I expect him to be released from Ohio State within a matter of days. I don't think this thing will be dragged out over the course of weeks. Especially, they'll want this, you know, they'll want the interim to kind of, you know, to kind of take the reins here until they, you know, find a more adequate replacement for 2019. I'm sure they'll let the interim finish out the year. They have a bunch of talent on that team. They'll expect it to be compete for a playoff spot, national championship. But they will want to move from this, you know, as soon as possible. They are not going to drag their feet on this. This thing has already moved quickly from, you know, from the time Urban Meyer fired Zach Smith on July 23rd to now it being August 1st that he's been placed on administrative leave. Real Deal Podcast, again, 1st of August, a lot going on in the world of sports. Some stuff that's going on, a lot of off-the-field stuff going on in the world of sports. And there was a report that came out a couple of days ago in regards to, as we, you know, switch gears here, in regards to Tristan Thompson and Draymond Green, which I found hilarious. Considering that, you know, so if you know, to give you some context on it, if you don't know, haven't heard about it, apparently at an ESPYs post game party, a party that was apparently thrown by LeBron James in Los Angeles, that was attended by, you know, Tristan Thompson, Draymond Green, Kevin Durant, just named a few of the principals that were there. Apparently Draymond Green approached Tristan Thompson and, you know, trying to make up for what transpired in the NBA Finals. You know, remember they got into it a little bit, you know, was basically much to do about nothing. And you know, went to shake Thompson's hand, and Thompson, you know, apparently, again, allegedly punched Draymond Green in the face. This was reported on by the Big Leagues and Fox Sports News' Jason McIntyre. Reported on this a couple of days ago. So here's rule number one, if this is true, and apparently, you know, from all reports that it is true, you know, the LeBron James, Kevin Durant broke up the fight and, you know, went on about their business after that. But again, if this is true, and you are Draymond Green, I think your tough call, I think your days as a tough guy, or that perception of being a tough guy, could be over. Because to me, I don't just envision a Charles Oakley, a Dennis Rodman, Xavier McDaniel, David West, some of those guys that have been notorious tough guys in the NBA. I just don't see them apologizing to somebody who they got into it with on the floor in the NBA Finals at the highest level, roughly 2 months ago, or a month and a half ago. And if you're Draymond Green, not only do you look bad apologizing or attempting to apologize to Tristan Thompson, you get, you lose the fight on top of it. That, I mean, that can't be there's a tough guy handbook. That can't be in there. I mean, how bad do you look if you're Draymond Green? You try to apologize to the guy. A guy who I don't know what Draymond like. I don't know if Draymond was trying to appease LeBron James. I don't know if he was, if he was drunk. I just don't. I don't know. I'm trying to figure out why would he try to apologize to Tristan Thompson. Was he scared of Tristan Thompson? I don't get it. It's one of those things. If I'm Draymond Green, I'm an all NBA caliber player. I got three championship rings. I can care less about Tristan Thompson. And see, that's the difference, and again, not to sound like the get off my lawn, the old man, an old man here, but this type of stuff, players who played in the 80s, 90s, 70s, 60s had to be, rolling over in their graves behind this type of stuff. And this is, I mean, this is the part, this is the problem that people have, that these old school players have with this generation's players, and especially in the NBA, that all these guys are basically friends off the court. I mean, you have Durant and LeBron, and I mean, yeah, LeBron, you had LeBron, Durant, Draymond Green, all at the same party. You have a situation where all these guys, these guys have the same agents, the same managers, the same, get the same sponsors, and what have you. And again, it somewhat has taken away from the competitive aspect of the game of basketball. It really has, and you can mention that even in football as well, especially with the NBA. Again, I'm not like my problem is, and I fully understand why Tristan Thompson took a swing on Draymond Green. Like, if you're gonna have the, if I'm Tristan Thompson, and Draymond Green, is talking all this shit to my face in the NBA Finals during the parade, then don't approach me don't approach me a couple months later in a club or at a party like we're friends. I mean, I don't, bring the same, I don't know why you're even speaking to me, number one. Like, we're not friends. We're playing opposite teams. You swept us, proceeded to rub it in our faces during, which is fine. You have anything, you can say whatever you want, and during the parade, you can, talk this, talk that, but don't come in my face smiling or trying to make good. That part I don't understand. That's where I've lost that. That is a pure millennial move. I said, Charles Oakley is not seeking out Charles Barkley in a club in the off season or at a casino or wherever they would be wherever they would be seen. I don't think they would be in the same, stratosphere, those two, considering, how much they detested each other back in their playing days. But let's say they were in the same at the same event or venue, there's no way he's seeking them out. It's just not gonna happen. It's just not gonna happen. So you're Tristan Thompson, you like, man, get out of my face. Get out of my face. I don't mess with you. But again, I just found this is, I don't know. I mean, maybe again, it could have been a situation where this has this almost has LeBron James written all over it. You could see a situation where LeBron told Draymond, like, look, man, this is my party. Make good. Tristan's gonna be there. I know what happened in the finals. Let's just enjoy a night. And keep it moving. And maybe Draymond took that as to say, took that just to a whole nother level and just said, you know what, I'll shake his hand. They'll try to make up with him by, approaching. I guess that was the case. I don't know why. That's the only thing I could figure. That's the only reason I could figure why Draymond Green would approach Tristan Thompson in the club. So yeah, that going on it with the NBA. And you have the not, and you have Draymond Green's teammate who can't stay out of the news in terms of Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant, for a guy as successful, for a guy as accomplished as Kevin Durant is, I get a sense that we don't know who Kevin Durant really is, even after, 12 years, 11 years in the NBA. I get it, again, I get that sense that we just don't know this guy. Kevin Durant comes out earlier this week and basically says, I was one way during my time with Oklahoma City. The guy who you've seen with Golden State, this is the real me. Like, I basically was a phony in Oklahoma City. Said everything, said all the right things. It said things that everybody wanted to hear during my time there. Now I'm speaking. Now this is, I'm speaking my mind. Since I've been with Golden State, this is who I really am. He made it. He had gotten he got communicated this to want to Chris Broussard during an interview. Well, through I don't think this was a direct interview. I think it might have been through some text messages. I don't think Broussard, this wasn't a face-to-face interview, or maybe this was, I think it was through text messaging that he made this known to one Chris Broussard. First of all, again, I don't get the sense that, Kevin Durant is about 30 years old. You can't, I don't see how you can switch it up like that. Like, I feel like you, how you were of Oklahoma City, you just left Oklahoma City at the age of what, 27, 28. Now all of a sudden you're telling us, you're telling the public that this is who you really are. You don't know what to think with Durant. I mean, I guess it makes him look like what, makes him look insecure, which I think he definitely is insecure, thinking about what we think, what the public thinks about him. It makes him look as if as a guy who just has, a case of just identity crisis, a guy who just isn't fully comfortable in his own skin, despite all the success, despite the championships, despite the finals MVP, despite the fact that he will go down as an all-time great. And I get the sense that Kevin Durant wants us, whether he said, whether he believes it or not, or whether he's going to come out and say it or not, he wants, the public to like him. He's seeking acceptance. That's what I get from Kevin Durant, a guy who is seeking to be accepted by the masses. So when he was in Oklahoma City, he had no championships. Okay, great player, all-star MVP, but you don't have a ring. Cool. We go to Golden State, win two chips. Okay, you won two chips, two finals MVPs, but it's Steph's team, Steph's franchise. You hopped onto a team that already that won 73 games, that already won, that have been to back-to-back finals. So now, to me, the next step in trying to gain our acceptance to me would be to leave Golden State after this year, win a third championship, and get it and get out. And as the season approaches, as the more and as Durant continues to talk and continues to make these types of comments, the more and more I believe that he will be on another team come 2019, 2020. Now, Golden State will have his bird rights following this year because it'll be 3 years and they'll be able to give him the super mega max, whatever you want to call it. Four years, or excuse me, 5 years, 230 million, somewhere within that vicinity. That's fine, but it's not about money with Durant. Remember, Durant has taken two pay cuts to allow Golden State to keep some of their other pieces and allow them to go out there and, sign a DeMarcus Cousins or re-sign a Sean Livingston and a Andre Iguodala. This guy who makes over, $40 million-$50 million away from basketball in terms of his endorsements. So I look at Durant, I look at a guy who is trying to change his narrative as a guy who hopped onto a team that won a championship, that was already championship caliber before he got there. A guy, again, more, even more so than that, is a guy who is just who is looking for our acceptance in the sporting world. Sticking with the NBA here, of course, we all understand what transpired with LeBron James, the opening of the at-risk school in his hometown of Akron, Ohio. At-risk school, 240 students that will continue to expand. Again, one of the more incredible things that you've seen an athlete do during his time being active that we've seen in a long time. As far as what Jalen Rose said, listen, I respect Jalen Rose. Jalen Rose, the problem with what Jalen Rose says is he shouldn't have said it. In regards to, in terms of his comments about saying that LeBron James was not the first athlete to open up a school. So let media people say that. Let other people say that for you. Because I was thinking, when I saw the story, I was thinking the same thing last night. I was thinking the same thing, a couple of days ago, like, or yesterday. Like, not the, he's not, LeBron James is not the first athlete to be connected with the opening of a school. But instead of saying that, instead of commenting on that and saying that and kind of defending Jalen Rose tonight, I would say that Jalen Rose, looks like somebody who's, who's hating on LeBron, basically. I don't think he's trying to disparage LeBron, but I just think he just is a situation of, don't you forget about me. Don't you forget about, look what I did. Look at the school I opened. Don't, not to knock what LeBron's doing, but just don't forget about me. I think there would have been a number of people who would have said that for Jalen Rose without him actually coming out and saying that himself. So I don't think Jalen Rose needed to say that. Everybody knows what Jalen Rose did, what the has done in regards to the opening of the school. They had a graduating class in 2015. But what LeBron is doing is even taken that to another level because, you know, he, first of all, the facilities are state of the art in terms of school, with each kid, you know, each student that's, you know, accepted there, that got let in there, getting a bike. The just and I'm not gonna get into all the innovation that the school seem that school's gonna try to do. So it's just it's stuff that is relevant to kids of the students in the inner city, especially I you know, forget about the sports aspect of it, just as an educator, some of the stuff that they look like they're gonna try to do, I would be excited before looking from the outside, looking from the outside in. But I want to say this about LeBron, and here's what you have to understand in regards to LeBron. Despite this, this is a non-basketball move. I know late, I've seen this on social media. I've seen this different, you know, news services, sporting news services, and trying to connect LeBron's actions with him being with him this you know with him being the greatest player of all time. This has nothing to do with him his on the court feats. This school is something to me that's bigger than basketball. It's something that will probably hopefully outlive him and will be to me will be a part of his legacy as a whole, but it is separate from his basketball on the court legacy. And that's very important to distinguish because it, you know, to kind of lump this in with what he's done on the court really takes away from not from what he's done on the court, but I think it takes away from, you know, from what he's doing with this. Like this to me is separate. This has nothing. When I think about what he's doing with this, it has nothing to do with basketball. Nothing. This is not about LeBron James, the basketball player. This is about LeBron James, the person. And the last time I checked, just because he may be a better person than Michael Jordan does not make him a better basketball player than Michael Jordan. So again, if you are lumping this in with his basketball accomplishments, I think you're not seeing the forest from the trees, and to me, you're taking away from what he's actually done if you're lumping this in with his basketball accomplishments. This has nothing to do with basketball. This is beyond basketball. This has nothing to do with basketball whatsoever. This is about LeBron James, the man. And LeBron James has gone out of his way to say that I'm bigger than basketball. Not saying that in terms of arrogant, to be arrogant, but I'm more like basketball is a part of me, but it is not the entirety of who I am as a man, as a person. And he's going out of his way to say that. Philanthropist, businessman, you know, activist. But again, one of the most incredible feats by an active athlete that you will ever see. It really is. But let's not lump this in with his basketball accomplishments, because those the two are completely different in terms of the chat. And like, I don't connect this with, I'm not going to put this in with 30,000 points, three championships, four MVPs. Not going to lump this into that. This is the Real Deal Podcast. I have not seen Mission Impossible yet. I want to check it out this weekend. Hope to check it out this weekend. In regards to Power and Snowfall, number one, if you haven't seen Snowfall, I think you can make a case for. And again, it's hard. This is hard to decipher because there's so much television, there's so many different shows. But Snowfall is in the conversation of being amongst the one of the best shows on television. There's no two ways about it. I encourage anyone, especially for a summer, for a summer show, But Snowfall, it just shows you how the power of popularity. Like, so Snowfall is easily a better show than Power in terms of the level of writing. It's not even close. Power is more popular. So Power is viewed upon as being a much better show, when in reality, and I love Power. I watched seen every episode, but Snowfall is a much better show. But again, Power is more popular. So it just shows you the power of popularity. Popularity and, I don't want to say marketing. I mean, because, FX is respected. Stars, Stars wouldn't be Stars without Power. But, I think that I would definitely encourage watching Snowfall. And I think Snowfall is a much better show than Power. It's not even, I don't even think it's a comparison between the two shows. That's going to wrap it up for this latest edition of the Real Deal Podcast. I will see you next time. Again, listen, the Real Deal Podcast, telling it like it is. I'm Cyril Gerald Quinn. I'm out.